One guy that knows about this is Jeff Farr. He is an IT strategist. You can find him online at Farr, that's F-A-R-R, systems.com. Jeff, thank you for joining us this evening.
My pleasure.
Now, Jeff, you're down there in Dallas, right?
Yes, sir.
So what's happening? We've seen some pictures. Is it Armageddon down there?
Well, it's not Armageddon, but there was a twister or two, pretty good sized twisters that came up from the south part of the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and decided to throw some tractor trailers around, and so there's some pretty dramatic footage out there. But I haven't heard of any kind of casualties so far. But it was this is our time of year. April's our tornado central.
I see. So you're seasoned in this stuff.
Yeah, this is if you live in this part of Texas, April's pretty much notorious. So most buildings in downtown Dallas, everybody had to go into the corridors, and get away from windows, stuff like that.
Well, we had a few of our own tornadoes here in Michigan a few weeks back, but that is a rare event here. So, okay, Jeff, according to the IRS, more than 460,000 taxpayers since 2008 have been victims of wage or identity tax fraud. So let's start with the kinds of things that we're looking for. What should we be careful for when we're getting our taxes done online?
Well, there's a couple of things. I'll tell you one of the predominant scams. Each tax season has its flavor, okay? And it's somewhat regionalized across the country. Different areas have their groups that are trying to scam or fish, as we like to say. And one of the big ones we saw this year was an email push. It happens every year, but this year this particular email seemed to be working really well. And what it was is, hey, it's an email you'd receive, and it would say something to the effect of, you owe $10,000 or something dramatic to get your attention. And, of course, it would say click here, and it would take you to a website that looked exactly like the IRS website. But you would basically log in and they would gather your information. So what they're looking for is social security number, birthday, the traditional stuff that they want. And that was a very effective one this year.
I see. But in general, if you're on your computer and you go, let's say, to TurboTax or a site that's well known, are there concerns? I mean, are there ways that thieves can somehow monitor your computer and see what you're typing in and get that information that way?
There are ways that somebody can do what we call key logging or a keystroke logging, which is a pretty sophisticated way. That requires that the hacker would put some software on your device, whether it's your iPad or your laptop or whatever, and can record what you're typing, okay? That's a fairly sophisticated method, and I wouldn't put that as a mass, across the masses, but that's a big thing.
Yes.
More this year with TurboTax specifically, they had also a big email fish that made them go to a TurboTax website instead of the IRS website.
So you're saying if you're being directed by an email to go to any particular website and enter in your social security number, don't do it.
Don't do it. It's really simple. I mean, instead of going to, clicking to go to the IRS website, just simply, close that email, go to Google, go to the IRS website and see if you can log in or if you have an account or see if there's any kind of, something that looks the same, and there won't be. The other it's a very non-technical way to do it, but just pick up the phone and call and say, they're saying I owe this and that doesn't sound right.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes just, get away from the computer for a second and actually pick up the phone. That's a very simple method to kind of protect yourself as well.
I'm talking to Jeff Farr. He is an IT strategist. You can find him online at farrsystems.com. That's F-A-R-R systems.com. When it comes, Jeff, to real identity theft, I have to admit I do not know anyone personally that's had their identity stolen. How much of a concern is it really? Are we maybe being frightened into worrying about something that's really not that big of an issue?
Right. Let me be real clear about this, because I've heard that question before. It's like, you know, I've never heard anybody. It is a very real thing. This is not hype. Okay, you know, there are all kinds of things that try to scare us that are hype. This is absolutely not hype. And when this happens to someone, it's devastating. The banks don't know if you really are who you are. You have a hard time. Think about all of the things that you touch. So once you're compromised, then it's your house payment, it's your bank accounts, it's your stocks, it's your retirement accounts. It's on and on and on.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know,
all your credit cards.
Apparently, Jeff, you know, there's a whole market out there where they're trading names and social security numbers online. Thieves can get something up to $200, $300 for each identity that's pilfered. Who are these people?
You know, different levels. I put these criminals in different, and they really are criminals, into different categories. There's the waitress or somebody who has access to, you know, in a retail environment, has access to maybe skimming different people's credit card numbers. That's one thing, and they try to sell them. That's the lower end. As you get higher up on the food chain, there's a lot of organized crime that have gone into this in a very big way, millions and millions of dollars, because, and I'll give you the reason that this is important. You know, if I'm a local criminal and I'm trying to, you know, get money for my fix or whatever I'm trying to do, I can go get a gun, go down to the local convenience store and rob it and, you know, get a couple $100s.
Mm-hmm.
The police are absolutely going to get involved. I have a very high probability of getting caught. Turn it, just change, move over and say, okay, well, if I just go find a few credit card numbers from people or, you know, I know people somehow, I can sell them for $200 or $300 a pop. And the chances I'm going to get caught are almost nothing. And the police are probably not even going to get called.
Okay. Now, just a minute left. How do you file your taxes yourself? Do you trust any particular online sites?
I don't. I do not use online site. I use, a CPA. And he also does it, you know, his firm takes care of our business. But, you know, for the average person who's not a business owner, I'm not trying to say stay away from online filing. Just if you do it, be sure that you initiate it and you go to it. It's not something that you're solicited and they are driving. You know, you go to the TurboTax website or go to whatever, I'm not thinking of the name, but you know who I'm talking about.
Right.
Any of the online processors. If you go to their site and... then that's fine. Those are fairly secure, but don't respond to emails, phone calls, any kind of the IRS. They don't do that.
Do you generally trust your interactions online? Just about 30 seconds left. Again, do you have any way to protect yourself when you are online that you think people should do themselves?
You know, if you're at home and you're using your local internet connection, those things are fairly secure. If you're if you use public Wi-Fi spots like at Starbucks and things like that, I don't do financial transactions if I'm there. I switch over to the cellular network and use my phone or my iPad or whatever. But in general, like I said, if you're initiating, that's better than if somebody is coming at you and asking, whether it's the phone, email, internet, whatever. And if you're not sure, the biggest thing is don't do it. Take a little bit more time and call and find out.
And don't wire tens of thousands of dollars to Nigeria, right?
Ever.
Jeff,
that's just a bad idea.
Yep, Jeff Farr, an IT strategist. Find him online at farrsystems.com. Jeff, thanks for joining us this evening.
My pleasure.